T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated in late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On King of OX.
So the coffee here is straight motor oil.
Oh, it's bad.
It's just been straight coffee. Like, I don't even know that it has a taste to it other than describe it as just coffee.
It's bad. Yeah. Your point?
Well, I'm trying something new. I'm trying to have less caffeine in my life.
Okay.
So what I've been doing is I've been going to the grocery store, and first time I did this, I went and bought two ground decaf coffees.
Okay.
And one fully caffeinated.
All right.
And then what I did is I put them into a giant Ziploc bag and I shook it all up.
So you're mixing the coffee.
Yeah, so that I can dilute the amount of caffeine I'm using.
Okay.
So this most recent time, I've been doing that for about 5 or 6 months, about halfway through the pandemic. I thought, man, I gotta ratchet back on this caffeine.
How much coffee do you drink?
Well, I'm single, and I want to ask you about coffee pots here in a minute, because I have a particular coffee pot that I love.
Okay.
But I'll drink a whole pot of coffee in the morning.
Of coffee?
Sure.
You drink a pot of coffee?
Sure.
Like a whole 12-cup pot of coffee?
Yeah. Don't you?
No.
Why not?
Well, it'll kill you.
Oh, well, I don't drink a full-leaded coffee.
It doesn't matter. You're putting that much. You drink a full pot of coffee? What's the matter with you?
Well, it's all watered down. What do you mean, what's the matter with me? What will it do to you?
Well, it's not good.
Explain.
Well, it's got the stuff in there, and
I don't think coffee's that bad for you.
It's got the caffeine going on.
No, I have decaf.
If you water it down, I mean, and then what's the point of drinking it if there's no caffeine in it?
Because I like a little hot liquid in the morning.
Well, how about tea?
Well, I guess. Do you make tea?
I don't make tea.
Well, why do I have to drink tea?
You don't have to drink anything, but I can't believe you drink a pot of coffee. What's the matter with you?
What is wrong with that?
It's not good.
I don't. I think
436-7900. This may explain a lot. 1-800-925-1120. This may explain why during overtime at 8:30 in the morning on Friday mornings the veins pop out.
But hold on a second. Now, for the better part of a year, I've been diluting that.
Right.
And so now I'm up to 3 bags of decaf coffee with 1 bag of caffeinated coffee.
You throw it all together.
And then I shake it all up in a giant bag, and then I'll administer it slowly over the next, several months.
I still can't get over the fact that you drink a pot of coffee.
Well, I don't know that it's a full pot. I mean, I have the pot of coffee that it bubbles the water up on top.
Yeah.
And then it, comes shooting out an arm.
Yeah.
And
like Mr. Coffee.
It drips down into the grated things, and then it goes back down into the pot.
Now, do you have the multi-hole?
What do you mean multi-hole?
Well, you've got, I can't believe I have to explain everything here.
Yeah. Well, so you're the guy who doesn't even drink that much coffee. Well, what are you going to lecture me about drinking coffee for?
So you've got the coffee, like the Mr. Coffee thing.
Right.
Well, so you're not a Keurig. You don't do a one.
I used to do Keurig, but it's not as good.
It's not coffee.
It really isn't.
Right.
It's so, like jet fuel.
It's whatever it is. It's not good. Mm-hmm. So you got the old school Mr. Coffee, where you got the one hole, and the water comes down the one hole.
Yeah, and it all just trickles in. Just yeah, through in the filter.
Can, yeah.
Right.
And it's no good. I've got, I don't like to talk. But I've got the multi-hole coffee drainer. So the water, it shoots up to the top of the thing there.
Uh-huh.
It goes over. And then you got like,
five or six holes.
No, I must have 10 or 15 holes.
Really?
And this coffee comes out of these 10 or 15 holes, and it goes everywhere into the filter. So you're not just dripping down the middle of the coffee thing, where all the coffee on the sides, you're saying, what the heck am I doing here? No. This coffee comes out of all of these different holes, and it disperses itself throughout the entire filter, and you're getting all the coffee wet, and then all of it then comes together and drains down the one little repository into the carafe, and that, my friend, is a magnificent cup of coffee. Much better than a single-hole coffee.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So what size cup of coffee do you pour your coffee into?
Well,
an oversized coffee mug?
No, that's Georgianne. She has these big old ears on it. And I've got two shaped cups that I like. I got the little curved cup that's my preference if it's not dirty.
Uh-huh.
And then I've got the old standard coffee mug.
So, but why were you so taken back by the fact that I might drink a whole pot of coffee?
Because that's not good for you.
That says who?
Doctor, everyone.
Really?
Yes. It's not.
But I'm not an everyday coffee drinker, and what I do drink is diluted coffee.
So wait a minute. You don't drink coffee every day?
No.
Huh.
Like tomorrow, my first meeting is at such a time that I will not have coffee tomorrow morning.
Huh. So you don't drink coffee every day, which I do.
Right.
But when you do drink coffee, you drink a whole pot of it.
Well, but I don't think I'm drinking a pot of coffee the way that you drink a pot of coffee.
Well, the carafe.
No, I understand the carafe. Yeah, I drink that much liquid in the morning, absolutely. But I don't drink caffeinated coffee. It's just coffee-flavored water.
Brown, yeah, okay, all right.
You think that's weird?
It's not good for you.
I don't understand why.
Well,
then why do I drink coffee, period? If coffee's not good for me, then I shouldn't be drinking
I love that first cup of coffee in the morning. So I come down. So I make the coffee. In fact, when I get home tonight, my job is to make the coffee. I have three jobs at night. I get the coffee ready, get it all queued up there. I change the distilled water in the CPAP. And I pull out my pills and take my pills. Those are
your three jobs.
Before
what
I
about
bed,
brushing your teeth there, little schnookums? Do you brush your teeth too?
Well, in the morning. So you got all that stuff going on there, and then you go to bed.
Those are your jobs.
Those are my jobs. I do them
not
well.
Brushing your teeth. You don't brush your teeth before you go to bed?
I do.
Okay,
but
why isn't that on the job list?
I typically brush my teeth after I eat dinner, not before I go to bed.
Why is brushing your teeth not on the job list? Like when you said, I have three jobs, I thought you were going to tell me, I go take the trash out to the edge of the driveway, I bring the dog inside, and I set the coffee up for the next morning.
Wednesday
nights. Your jobs were essentially hygiene jobs, was what you just described.
Well, I've got to take
my medicine, I've got to get my coffee together.
You've got to change the distilled water in the CPAP.
Matt, this is not a lie. Hancock and I traveled earlier this year together. We were down in Florida. And we arrive, I guess, at about noon one day. And we go out and have lunch and come back. It's about 4 o'clock. He says to me, he goes, should we get the coffee ready? I said, for what? He said, for tomorrow morning.
Well, because you don't want to wait too
late. I said, well, John, I said, the coffee maker's in the cabinet. We'll pull it out tomorrow morning.
No.
He goes, no, we've got to set this up tonight. And blah, blah, blah. So this is like, I mean, we still got 2 or 3 hours of daylight in a tropical area. And this clown's making me pull out the coffee maker, put all the coffee grounds in there, which, by the way, I keep mine in the freezer. You made fun of me for that, too.
Yes. And weren't you glad it was ready when you woke up? And then, of course, I got up
first.
But
I could have done it at 8 o'clock in the morning and just did it.
But why do you want to do that when you first get out of bed? The last thing you want to do is stick that little
scooper. But then your coffee grains are sitting out at room temperature all night.
Oh, no. That's why you use the ice cube.
What do you mean the ice cube?
You put the ice cube in the water in the morning.
What are you talking about?
No, it makes the water cold, and then it invigorates the whole coffee experience. See, these are the tricks you learn when you live to be 57 years old.
We'll keep rolling after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
So, a late night like now, I guess you're going to drive home, decompress a little bit, get the coffee ready for tomorrow morning.
Got to do it.
It's starting to cool off out there.
Yeah.
You mentioned to me, you asked me a question in the break if I wear long johns.
Yeah.
And I associate long johns with, like, little kids' sleeping attire.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't wear those to bed. And you said, no, do you wear long johns in the winter? I said, no, I just told you I don't wear those to bed. Oh. And he goes, you said, no, I like when you go out, don't you wear long johns
when
under
it's
your
cold.
Pants? What do you think, you live in the Arctic?
Sometimes. I mean, it gets very biting cold out there. And,
but you don't wear long johns. What, are you working outside all of a sudden?
And you're...
If you're working outside, sure. You wear underlayers, but you wear them like under a suit?
Yeah. Because it's all about layers, and so to keep warm in a very frigid environment, you wear layers, and so the only way to layer on your legs is a pair of long johns.
And you, honest to God, have worn those under like a pair of khakis before?
Yes, I mean
to like a meeting.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
When it's cold, when it's like 10 below outside.
Yeah, I still wear my booty socks when I go out like that.
Well, good.
You're
for
wearing
you.
Long johns.
Yeah, buddy.
Buddy, we live in the Midwest. Like, okay, there's
worse.
One day that it gets 0 degrees, but it's not like you're hiking to your office.
There is nothing
in the snow.
There is nothing worse than walking outside and having that cool breeze blowing up your pant leg there and your knees. And I don't have a lot going on my legs. I mean,
you kind of do have bird legs.
I've got bird legs, and so. And if you're cold and you're freezing and you're shivering, then you're going to make a poor impression on people. So you put the long johns on; they cling right to you. And so when that breeze blows up, there you got the insulation going on there, and then your natural body heat kind of takes over, and it's very you're very comfortable. Very comfortable.
I don't like stuff that constrictive on me. Huh. So like real tight pants like that or underneath my pants, especially would bother me.
But, don't give me trouble.
You know what I used to hate when I was a kid was, did you ever wear a turtleneck when you were a kid? Did your mom ever put that on you?
Yeah, I like turtlenecks.
Oh, I hated it.
Back
I felt like it was choking me.
Back when I had one chin, I loved them. but now I don't wear them so much.
You ever worn a kilt?
No.
What?
A kilt?
A kilt.
Like a skirt?
Yeah, well, what's your heritage? You're what, British?
I'm English.
English, yeah. English wore kilts.
No, they didn't.
Well, I had to wear a kilt in the wedding once.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's a skirt, right?
I mean, well, it's a male skirt. Yeah. It's Irish and Scottish,
right.
and I was in a wedding and I had to wear a kilt.
Huh? Yeah, and you got underpants under there, right?
No, you don't wear underpants.
What?
Your legs are, and you wear these like knee high socks.
Wait a minute. You don't wear underpants under your skirt?
Oh, I was wearing a pair of boxers.
Yeah, okay,
thought you meant a pair of pants. I didn't go without anything. Well, technically you could. But I had to wear a kilt, and so I wore a pair of boxers, and then you wear these little knee-high bobby socks. I didn't, at that point in my life, I guess it's probably 10.
Point. He's wearing a kilt, and all of a sudden he says, is that point in my life?
At that point in my life, it was probably like 10 years ago. I wasn't too thrilled about doing it.
Yeah.
But the pictures were super cool from it. Like the wedding pictures of all the men in kilts the girls in these beautiful dresses. It was pretty cool.
Not doing it.
Yeah, I can't do it. Like, I have friends of mine who do them on first St. Patrick's Day and stuff, and I can't do it. But I did do it for a wedding, and I didn't mind it.
No.
You would not do it.
No, I'm not going to wear a skirt. I mean.
Why?
Well, I mean, I guess now it's all the rage.
You wear shorts, don't you?
Huh?
You wear shorts, don't you?
Rarely.
Really?
But I do wear shorts.
Why do you avoid shorts?
Well, because of, my legs. So.
You've got kind of pasty legs, right? White, well, like super white. They don't ever see the sun.
Well, they don't get a lot of sunlight, shall we say.
You know, there's a lot of men who believe that you shouldn't really wear shorts. Men's legs, you're not supposed to show them.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not. I don't care if you want to wear shorts. I just and I've got shorts, and but a short is not a skirt. The shorts.
Yeah, well,
this is
a kilt.
Two legs in it,
and a kilt. I don't want to. Well, we could Google what kilt means, but I don't think kilt means
skirt.
Skirt.
It's a skirt, is what it is.
Well, it essentially is a skirt. Yeah, but it looked good. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I would not like it.
Really?
No, I'm not doing it.
What if I got married? And well, I wanted you to be in my wedding.
Of all the things I worry about, Michael, it's...
all right, but hold on. Let's play out this hypothetical.
Uh-huh.
And I said, John, I'd like you to be in my wedding.
Yes, for you, I'd put a skirt
You'd
on.
You'd be a groomsman.
Yeah, I'd wear a skirt for
And
you.
I'd like you to wear a kilt to my wedding.
I'd look like... it wouldn't be pretty, is all I can tell you.
Do you realize that if I ever do get married, I am totally going to wear a kilt just to get you to have to wear one?
I'm in.
It'll be so funny.
I'll be the
Matt. He'll show up at the church.
Here I am. That's what I'll do. I'll play the bagpipes.
Oh, there you go. You know what? Bagpipes.
Yeah.
Can't stand
Love them.
Love them. I can't stand them.
You wear a skirt. You don't like bagpipes.
I wore a kilt because I was in a wedding, but people make a big deal of bagpipes. They're fine. But bagpipes, every song bagpipes play are the same song.
No, it's not. Oh, there's a bunch of different songs. Yeah.
Yeah, Amazing Grace. Right. And yeah, I mean, come on. Oh, there's like four or five songs you can play and they all sound alike.
No.
They do.
Well, you're
and right. So wait a minute. You don't like kilts, but you do like bagpipes.
Love bagpipes.
What? Huh. Why? Because of your musical inclination?
Yeah,
Have you ever tried one?
No. The dissonance of a bagpipe, there's something about the dissonance that comes out of that thing. Listen, here it is now. Listen to that.
There it is. See? Like I said, Amazing Grace. They all play the dance.
And you got the dissonance there, and it's amazing.
They did this at my dad's funeral, too.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very mournful instrument, isn't it? Like, when you hear it, aren't you it doesn't make you like, geez, what a great day. It's like, oh, something bad happened.
Well, if they're playing this.
Well, any of them.
No, there's some great...
Oh, tell me a great bagpipe song that really revs up the crowd.
Well,
like Start Me Up from the Rolling Stones.
Are you acquainted with the Dropkick Murphys?
The Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah.
I'm not acquainted
You're
with
not
the
acquainted
Dropkick.
With the Dropkick Murphys?
No. What, is this an Irish group?
You purport to be Irish.
I am Irish, but I told you I'm not a big bagpipe fan.
The Dropkick Murphys played the national anthem at the World Series between the Cardinals and the Boston Red Sox in 2004.
That didn't work out well.
And they did, not for us, but it worked out great for the Dropkick Murphys.
Really? Did they become stars as a result of it?
They're very famous. I can't believe you never heard of them.
Well, maybe I have heard of them, but
They got that one big hit of theirs, Matt. That's not it.
Well, I like Irish music, but this isn't a bagpipe.
Well, they've got one with a bagpipe.
Well, okay.
They had the big hit, though. It was huge, whatever it was called.
So you like Irish music?
I do. I do like Irish music. You know, Irish music is really interesting. So there is a heavy flavor of Irish music in American popular music. And it goes back. And you hear a lot of Irish music in... a large amount of
country western
church music has got a roots in Irish music. Country western certainly does, but even jazz has some elements of So you know, American music is a melting pot of all these different influences, and you've got African influences, certainly the Irish music that kind of manifested itself through the Appalachians and the hollers, the church hollers that they would do, and certainly bluegrass is found.
Well, where does ragtime come from?
Ragtime is a mishmash of all of it.
Really?
And you've got European, English harmonies and structures in ragtime. You've got African rhythms and melodies, but a lot of the folk melodies that floated around the United States have their roots in Irish music.
How about that?
Yeah, it's true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think about time. I've heard, look, there's some great Irish bands out there that stick with traditional Irish music. The Coors is one. But I I've never been attracted to the bagpipe. I have respect for it, but I put it in a mournful sense. Anytime I hear bagpipes, it's usually somebody's died.
Well, you go home tonight and hook somebody up to your died. Little YouTube machine there, and you turn on some
Dropkick
Murphys.
And then all of a sudden
Murphys.
I'll be getting all Dropkick Murphy advertisements like Van Morrison. Van Morrison, he's Irish.
It'll be good for you. Well, here they are. This is their big hit right here, Matt. Well done. What's it called? Shipping Up to Boston, it's called.
Listen to the Dropkick Murphys. We'll be back after this on Cam Wax.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah. This is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
You go to your high school reunion?
I went to the 10-year, but I have not been since.
What year would you be coming up on?
Well, next year. This will be my 40th high school reunion. Next year.
40th.
40th.
Yeah, my 30th is coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went. I don't know that I've been to any of them.
Well, that's kind of
what inspires you to go to your 10th? Wasn't that far away from
knowing
some of the kids.
I mean, just, you know, because there are a bunch of people I hadn't seen. I'm just curious to, you know, what they're up to.
Will you go for your 40th?
I doubt it. Might. I mean, I certainly, was it the 25th? There was one of them I thought about going to, and then I just did. I did go to my wife's, would have been her 20th high school reunion. So, Georgianne graduated. In a class, she went to Westminster Christian Academy when it was fairly new.
Okay.
And there were 43 people in her graduating class. Mm-hmm. 43 people.
All right.
And so they're planning the class reunion, and Georgianne and her friend are in charge of organizing everything.
Would this be Kiki?
No, Kiki was her neighbor.
Oh, that was the one that she raided Michael Jackson's house.
Yeah, no, this is a different friend. So they're getting the thing for these 43 people, and they send the invitations out to everybody they can find. And the RSVP is to our home phone number. And so guy calls up and he says, "This is so and so, and I'll be attending the reunion." And she listens to it and she says, "Boy, doesn't sound familiar. I don't think I reckon." So she calls her. She calls her buddy, and she says, "Do you know so and so?" She says,
"John
no.
Bill Brown.
Did he go to? Was he in our class?" And they came. So anyway, so we're standing there, you know, at the high school reunion, and this guy walks in, and they look at each other, and they go, "Oh, yeah, you know him." They forgot a guy. Isn't that horrible? You're in a class of 43 people, and totally forgotten.
Well, you know, Facebook does that to you because I don't do politics on Facebook.
Right.
So I only want family and friends and people that I really know.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of people who try to friend me that I never heard of. And, you know, with women, when they change their last name and people don't look like they did in high school, I don't have half the friends from my high school days but the ones that I do, you know, I kind of know who.
And you kind of keep up with them?
Yeah. Well, you know, I obviously have a couple of really close friends that I stay in touch with. And, you know, I grew up in St. Charles.
Right.
And all my sisters and I went to the same school.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of a little fixture inside that school.
Right.
Kelly's.
Oh, yeah.
So
there were six of you.
Yeah. So I tangentially, you know, but that was back when St. Charles was nothing like it is today.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, I guess so. But I haven't been to one yet, and I'm questioning whether or not I should go.
So did you graduate in 92?
Three, 93.
Oh, so you got a year. I graduated in 82. So 82. My actual year is coming up next year.
Do you remember, so it's your senior year, you're kind of the kids who are in charge of school. You think you're the biggest thing in the world.
Oh.
And that was the year the Cardinals were in the run for the World Series, so it was a fun time to be in St. Louis, too.
Well, he graduated in May, so the Cardinals didn't win the World Series until I had started my freshman year of college. But, yeah, I mean, that was a fun year, and at that time, you know, I'd lived my entire life. Well, when I was a little itty-bitty kid, the Cardinals won the World Series. But they were bad in the 70s, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they went through the decade. I mean, we had Lou Brock. We had Bob Gibson for half the decade. But they had one, maybe 2 years where they were competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But in 82, it kind of all came together under Whitey Herzog. And boy, I wonder how Whitey Herzog would fare in this analytics age we're living in.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that at 10 o'clock. Yeah. I had some Mike Schilt questions
for you.
What do
we have there, Matt? Doug, a bagpipe aficionado, is on. Doug, welcome to KMOX.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Good talking with you.
Always, Doug.
Always, yeah. This is your cigar-smoking friend, by the way.
Love it.
Yes, sir. I'm on my patio right now having a nice Oliva V. Enjoying the beautiful clear sky.
Yes.
Nice out tonight.
Yeah, that Christmas, the crispness in the air is awfully nice, isn't it?
It is nice. It's very nice.
So you're a bagpipe guy?
Not really a bagpipe guy, but I used to, when I was teaching, one of the units that I taught was about woodwinds, and bagpipes always came up. And the bagpipes are a very interesting instrument. When they fill that sac up, they blow into it to fill it with air.
Yeah.
And then you squeeze that, and that's what gives them the tone. And so then you play it by that air that's in there, and you have to keep constantly filling up the bag.
Right. But you're actually playing you're actually making the noise with your arm. Your mouth is just simply filling up the instrument so that your arm can then extract the air through the pipes.
Right, and you're fingering it like you would a clarinet or any instrument like that. And I will say this, when I my band played several times for the St. Louis Scottish St. Andrews Society.
Yeah.
And they would have two main events every year. And every time they had their pipe band come in, the Invern Pipe Band.
Yeah.
And if you think a band like mine was loud, you ought to hear these guys. They're really something, and they're great. I mean, they're fun to watch, you know. Drums and the pipes and the whole thing.
Oh, I love it. I love all of it. Doug, I know it's superfluous, but give that man a cigar. Doug?
Well, you know, we still have to get together and have one, gentlemen.
I'm in, buddy. I'm in. Just say the word. All right. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for calling. So there's a bagpipe guy. Yeah, you bet.
Never took a liking, you know.
Bagpipes? It'll be okay.
I do like Doug.
Doug's great.
Yeah, he calls in all the time.
He did.
The last time, I think he was poking a Fuente or something, because you guys were all talking.
Arturo Fuente.
Could
well have been an Arturo Fuente.
So, I'm not looking forward to, well, maybe I will. I don't know if I'm going to go to the class.
So you went to Duchenne High School.
Duchenne High School, and you went to Pattonville.
I was Pattonville High School.
You're a Crusader?
Pirate, buddy.
Pirate. Pattonville Where am Pirates. I getting Pattonville Crusaders
I have
from?
No idea, because it's been the Pattonville Pirates forever.
Yeah.
One of the great high schools here in the St. Louis region.
Yet you haven't been to one of your reunions.
I went to the 10-year.
Mm-hmm.
The 10-year reunion. I saw all my friends. And
did anybody, go on to move out of St. Louis and become, world famous? Like, is anybody William Shatner or anything like that?
In my class? No.
No?
You know what's kind of sad is that several of them have passed away.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 30. Very young, obviously.
Right. That's freaky when that starts happening.
It is. It is. But no, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody. The astronaut was from Pattonville, but he wasn't from my class.
Opinion on William Shatner going to space? Did you hear that?
Love
yeah.
it.
Why is that?
I'm not a big Star Trek guy. I mean, I didn't really watch the show. I don't get the people that are all into it.
Me neither.
Every episode, blah, blah, blah. But I did see an interview with him, a couple months ago on Ashley Banfield.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's 90 years old, completely with it. I mean, sharp as a tack.
Right.
And, he's witty and he's self-deprecating. And, I don't claim to know William Shatner or what kind of a guy he is, but he seemed like a really good guy in this interview. And so, you know, to have been an iconic figure like Captain Kirk and then at 90.
To get to do it.
To go up in space. I mean, yeah.
So
I
think my exposure to William Shatner is not Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
It's T.J. Hooker.
T.J. Hooker is my
father. I grew up with T.J. Hooker.
My father's favorite show.
It was a good program. What was the name? Heather Locklear was with him.
Yeah.
And they were,
maybe that's why it was my father's favorite show.
Yeah, Heather Locklear, who can blame him? Right. It was one of my favorite shows, too. But that was my exposure to him was T.J. Hooker, which I think was almost as big a hit as Star Trek. Now, Star Trek took on iconic
fame. Well, they only made 16 episodes of that. I mean, there's not that many Star Trek episodes.
Oh, really?
Well, then they had all the spinoffs.
Yeah.
Next Generation and the Next Generation,
and
et cetera. Blah, blah, blah. Ricardo Montalban was in one of the movies.
Ricardo Montalban.
Now, you know you've made it when Ricardo Montalban's in your movie.
Yeah, the plane, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that him?
Another great show.
Fantasy Island?
Oh, great show.
And Tattoo?
Okay, the name, so the actor who played Tattoo, what was his name? Anyone?
No.
Anyone? I know it.
What is it?
Great trivia question.
All right.
Hervé Villechaize played Tattoo in Fantasy Island. He did.
So, the show before my time. I know the reference, but don't ever remember watching it. My earliest thing, like MASH, watching my family watch MASH. Yeah. I didn't really understand what was going on. And Love Boat.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one around the house. Yeah, did you watch Love Boat?
Oh, yeah. In the day? I mean, who didn't?
Did the whole family, did you sit up? Because you were the baby of a large group, right?
Yeah, and you know, when I was little, I'm sure we did. We had the old Curtis Mathis round screen television there in the living room. I don't remember watching a lot of television as a kid, certainly in prime time. I'd go to bed pretty early, you know. And
do you remember the first time you got color television, or were you too old?
Oh, no, we had color television. I mean, yeah.
Most of your whole life?
Yeah.
I remember their black and white televisions being around the house.
Right, in the kitchen.
I remember my mom and dad talking about when color television first came around. Yeah. Like, holy cow, can you believe this?
Well, and you know, now with these HDs that we have.
Well, in your phone.
You forget about what just a few years ago, like watching sports.
Yeah.
When they show highlights, I saw a highlight from the 1985 World Series the other day.
Looks like it's an antique.
It does. I mean, it's unbelievable. Right? I mean, we're so spoiled.
Well, in these TVs now, you look at it, it's like the guy's jumping at you.
Soon they're going to be 3D. Yeah. We will have 3D television in our life. Oh,
we'll
yeah.
be watching the NBA yeah. with those guys flying through the air. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, it'll
be great. I'll totally look forward
to it. He's Michael Kelly, and I'm John Hancock. We are your... we're your perky cruise director here on the Love Boat on the Voice of St. Louis. We'll see you right around the corner next on KMOX.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I haven't been to the movies since the pandemic, have you?
No, I have not.
I know, I miss it. I won't go. And I'm a big James Bond fan.
Yeah?
But I'm going to wait till it comes out.
I have heard, now, you know, I've just heard, so people are saying.
People are saying.
That this new James Bond movie is not so good.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
I know.
I hope that's wrong.
I know. Well, I'm sure that it's all politically correct now.
I think this is the best James Bond.
Who? This guy now?
Daniel Craig, yeah.
Really?
I think he's the best of all of
not
them.
The best James Bond. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Sean
Why would
Connery.
I kid you? No, Sean Connery was great. He's
Roger
second best.
Roger Moore.
No, I don't think so.
Roger Moore was... I know he
was good,
dissed.
But
he was
fine.
I thought Roger Moore... That was a federal. I mean, that was an agent. That was a spy. That was a. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I don't know. To me, it's a battle of two. It's between Sean Connery and Daniel Craig, and I think it's Daniel Craig. Why? Let me make the case why.
How many movies has Daniel Craig made as James Bond?
Five or six.
Oh, has it been that many?
Yeah, I think he's on his fifth right now, maybe sixth.
Okay. All right.
So here's my case. Of course. The role was invented by
Sean Connery.
Exactly. And,
well, it was
and,
invented by Ian Fleming.
Right. No, but I mean, he made it, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he was
yeah.
the tuxedo, the tightness,
yeah,
the
yeah.
gambling, the
yeah,
drinks,
yeah.
the blah, blah, blah. But he was too perfect. What I like about Daniel Craig is Daniel Craig, one, he's a handsome dude. Two, he's got a rugged look about him. He doesn't look too polished. And when he gets beat up in the movie,
yeah.
he doesn't. You know, he stays beat up. He doesn't miraculously in the next scene look like, hey, look, I'm great after I just got my tail whipped halfway across London.
Huh.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of scenes where, you know, Daniel Craig gets beat up in previous movies, and he's got his shirt off or whatever, and he's, you know, he's got bruises and he's got cuts on his face, and they stay with him for the whole show. So I like that. Plus, I think the guy has just a huge class. But anyway, I haven't been to the movie theater.
Yeah.
And the movie theater has the best popcorn in the entire
it's
world.
Very good.
I love it.
Then you put the yellow goo on
it. No, I don't put the goo on it.
Oh, you eat the popcorn gulas.
Gulas. Now, you're going to lecture me about drinking coffee, but you put that toxic chemical from a movie theater all over your popcorn.
Well, it's butterish, sort of.
Yeah. So but listen to what you're saying to me. I'm drinking coffee, something that grows from nature. You're talking about a saturated oil that's been, you know, blah blah blah, to be pouring on popcorn, perfectly good popcorn. Tastes Why would yummy. You do that?
It makes it taste great.
Now the cheese popcorn.
It's not great on your fingers.
You ever get that cheese popcorn that comes around around Christmas time?
Why would you ruin popcorn like with cheese? I don't like cheese.
Delicious.
No.
So, but I'm trying to be healthy. I'm not doing so well.
Right.
And so one of the things I got is this. It's called Fresh Pop, and it's, you know, it's low-cal microwave popcorn.
Microwave, okay.
Yeah, so I take it out and throw it in the microwave and cook it up, and, you know, nice. There's something about popcorn that crunch. And,
So
I'm not getting this at the movie theater, and I don't think the movie theater popcorn's good for you. I'm out of popcorn the other night, so I'm watching some of the old James Bond movies.
Yeah.
I've been going back and watching the old ones, and I thought, well, I want to make some popcorn. Did something I have not done since I was a little kid.
Yeah, what?
I got out a skillet.
Yeah.
I put some olive oil in there.
Right.
I threw the kernels of popcorn on there, and I covered it over with
a lid.
With a lid.
Right. That's how you make popcorn.
And I shook it up, and I cooked popcorn right there in my own kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, almost Michael's own kettle corn.
Let me alert the media over here.
Well, when was the last time you cooked old-fashioned popcorn like that? No,
all
you
the
throw
time.
Everything in the microwave.
No, Georgian. I'm married, buddy. Uh-uh. So, but Georgianne, she pops the pot. I mean, she gets the little pot going, and we got the thing there, and she throws the things in there, and then she turns the oven on. And
seriously, you guys don't do microwave popcorn?
We do. I mean, you know, when we're lazy, but no, she likes to pop.
Well, I'm a single male. I'd like an award here. You're making fun of me.
And you get the butter, and you melt the butter, and you melt the butter, and then you pour the butter over the popcorn.
No, I'm not a butter guy on popcorn.
Put some salt on there.
Especially homemade popcorn, when you put the butter on there, the popcorn just wilts up into this little...
Not if you know what you're doing, buddy.
Well, so Georgianne does.
She does.
You don't.
I'm a butter applier. I can apply the butter with the best of them.
Okay, so wait a minute. You pop up your popcorn old-fashioned style in a skillet. Mm-hmm. Now you got your pile of popcorn and you put it in a bowl.
It's not in a skillet. It's in a pot.
Yeah, in a pot. Yeah. Okay, now you got your popcorn in a bowl.
All right.
You melt the butter in the microwave?
No. Yes, you melt the butter in the microwave.
And then you just pour it on the...
You pour it on while it's still in the bowl. And it's still in the...
Before it pops.
No, after it pops.
See, my problem with that is the popcorn that when I've done that, it shrinks up and it shrivels and it becomes, I don't know.
Well, you're putting too much butter on it then.
Really?
Yeah. It's a touch. It's a skill, and you apply just enough butter over top of that pop, and you got to mix it up. And
I'm surprised you're shrugging off my popcorn.
I'm not shrugging it off.
Well, you're shrugging it off because I have to tell you, this is the first time I've done this since I was probably 8 or 9 with my family.
As if no one in Western civilization makes popcorn.
No, but
anymore.
Nobody does it anymore. It's so easy. We all have microwaves. You just throw things in the microwave oven. Come on, it's so simple that way.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
Really?
It's not, you would agree, right? Having just popped your own, it tastes
better? Well, no, I think, it does taste better. Exactly. Now, here's the problem with popping your own. It took me several pieces of utensils that I needed. I needed the pot.
Right.
And then I melt the butter.
You need
the
lid.
I had the salt. Mm-hmm. I had the lid.
Mm-hmm.
I got done. Then I pour the popcorn into another bowl.
Yeah.
And I shake it up with a little, you know, seasoning.
Right.
Now I've got a pot, a lid, my butter bowl, and the bowl that are dirty. And you know what I do? I just throw them right there in the dishwasher and I run it, which drives my mother nuts because you should never run a dishwasher half full. You're supposed to always run it full. Because it's a waste of water and all that other stuff.
Well, I mean, if you've got stuff and you want to make it clean stuff, you turn the dishwasher on.
So would you think it would be weird that, I don't know, say you're a guy who has a pot of coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And you get done with your pot of coffee and you shake your head at me about drinking a pot of coffee. I can't believe that.
Because it's ridiculous. It's not good for you.
I'm not drinking a whole pot.
Okay, well, that's not what you said earlier. But anyway, go right ahead.
Of caffeinated coffee. But anyway, you throw it all in the dishwasher and run it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
No, I got no problem with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do the jet dry?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what you want to talk about revolutionary.
What?
These friends of ours. Two dishwashers.
What?
They have two dishwashers in their kitchen. You ever
Do they
hear
have a lot
man?
Of kids? They have a lot of kids?
Yeah. No, but so the whole concept blew my mind. So they take their dirty dishes and they put them in the dishwasher and they turn the dishwasher on. Now they get more dirty dishes. They put them in the other dishwasher and they're filling it up. Guess what happens? The aforementioned dishwasher now has clean dishes in it.
Well, that's how it works.
Which you never have to put in the cabinet because they're in the dishwasher clean. And you've still got an empty dishwasher to put your dirty dishes in so that it's a life cycle.
Oh, so they don't put their plates and utensils in the cabinet?
If they want
Whose idea was this? This has to have been the husband and not the wife.
I don't know.
I don't think the wife was saying, you know what, we'll never have to put the dishes in the dish, you know, in the pantry.
We were over there for a dinner party. Seeing this play out in front of my very eye, unbelievable.
Do they have a bunch of kids?
Not anymore. The kids are grown.
So maybe they had a bunch of dishwashers because they had a bunch of kids.
I don't know, man.
I've never heard of people having two dishwashers for the purpose of never having to put the dishes in the cabinet.
Georgiana and I hate emptying the dishwasher. Hate it.
Really?
You got to bend over. And you got to pull all the crud out of there, and you set it down, and you got to go walk it over to the cabinet where the plates are over here. You got the cups over there. You got the bowls coming over here.
Oh, your first world problems are miserable, brother.
Well, I mean, it's hard on the back. But if you had two dishwashers, you need a plate. You go get a plate out of the dishwasher. You bend over one time, there's one plate, boom, you're done. And it's dirty. You still got another dishwasher for the dirty dishes. It's absolutely
When you
brilliant.
Were a kid, did you have a dishwasher at your house?
After a while.
Yeah.
Not when I was little.
We didn't for most of my life. Yeah. I think it was broken, and they're expensive. And so we had family, had to take turns. Michael's night to wash the dishes. Colleen's night, yeah.
We had a family friend when I was a kid. I forgot all about this guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's no longer with us. he was Mr. Fix-It, right? Couldn't fix a darn thing to save his life. Cars, couldn't fix them. He'd come over and take the car apart. The dishwasher's broken.
couldn't fix it,
but we always called him.
Call Mr. Jones.
Mr. Rogers. It was Mr. Rogers.
It's Hancock and Kelly late night. We're going to give our best shot at sports next. We're going to come back and talk to you about the Mike Shilt interview.
Yeah, he gave a very heartfelt farewell today. It's very moving, and we're going to play it for you next hour right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.